Amen? Man, I'm so thankful for someone to play the piano. Let me rephrase that. I'm so thankful for someone to play the piano well. God bless some people to give them talents. I can't play the radio, so I'm so thankful to have a wife that can play anything. So this morning, we invite your attention to, that's the wrong button. So anyway, I'm going to lay this over here. I'm going to tell you the truth. I messed up. I know you're going to find that hard to believe. I got here this morning and Clark said, "Where's the PowerPoint?" And I said, "On my computer." I didn't get it sent to him this morning. So you're just going to have to listen twice because you don't have anything to look at. But we're going to be this morning in this process of a new season, a new start. You know, we've been talking about and referencing of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're not going to be there this morning. I'm going to invite your attention to book of James chapter 5 this morning, and we'll get there in just a second. But we're walking through this concept of seasons. I remind you, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, there is a time for everything, a purpose under heaven. In the midst of that, then it goes through this long discourse of the characteristics and the times and those, but not the biblical principles. And so through the month of February, we've been walking through biblical principles that God gave seasons. And so we've looked at the reason God gave seasons was to prepare for what's coming next, to mature the believers, to deliver from the past, to declare His narrative, and to establish His divine order. Those are principles as to why God established and gave us seasons. This morning, we're going to look at two more, and you're just going to have to trust me that I know what I'm saying because I don't have anything to put up on the board. We're going to be, first of all, one of the purposes that God gave us seasons was to establish faith in the believer. To establish faith in the believer. In James chapter 5, I'm going to read to you chapter 5, verse 7. And the Bible's, and James writing, by the way, James is writing to the church. He says this, "Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it until he received the early and the latter rain." God, this morning, this people have gathered together with the intent to hear from you. God, I pray today the things that we look at, the things we talk about, will be exactly the words and the thoughts and the encouragement and the challenge that we need. Help us, God, today to understand where we are, who we are, and what you have planned for us as we walk through these seasons in Christ's name. Amen and amen. We're going to look at four things this morning from this verse to establish faith in the believer. Now, the Bible says faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we cannot see. That's in Hebrews. But the truth is, the reason God gives us seasons is one of the reasons I don't like gardening. My daughter and I planted potatoes yesterday because my grandpa said, "You always plant potatoes on Valentine's Day." I walked out this morning. Guess what? There were no potatoes. I'm ready for some potatoes. Seasons have to happen for those kinds of things to walk through. But I want to give you four things this morning about how the biblical principle of seasons establishes faith. Because here's what he says in that passage. Thank you. Two of you got it right. Be patient. Be patient. Be patient. We pray, "God, give me patience right now." And the truth is, that is not the way it works. But he says, "Be patient, therefore." Why? What's the therefore? The reason for we're to be patient. Because, behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit. What he says in that is, as we plant, as we go through the seasons, there's a time frame from planting to harvesting. And in that, it builds up the faith that we have. Now, if you plant a garden and you put out black-eyed peas and you put out all these seeds and you cover them and you water them and in 2 weeks there's no growth yet, they haven't sprouted yet, and you go in and plow up the field, you'll never have a harvest. You've got to be patient. By the way, when stuff starts coming up, you got to check and make sure it's the plants and not the weeds. Did you get that part? We have to be good inspectors. But there is a patience there. See, number one, it establishes faith in the believer by revealing God's perfect timing. God's perfect timing. You have this passage out of Jeremiah 29:11, right? For I know the plans I have for you. By the way, did you realize that was after a promise of 70 years? You see, God's timing is perfect. It may not fit our timing, but it's always perfect. See, the nation had to go through a season of being under bondage because of the way they had lived to get them ready for when God brought them back, they would live differently. Sometimes in our lives, for us to be able to get to where God wants us to, we have to know that there has to be a season in which we have to go through. Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plan. In Acts chapter 9, listen, there's some people in the Bible I just didn't want to be. I don't want to be Job. When God says, have you considered my servant Job? I would really say, have you considered my servant Dale? But then he comes to a time, there is this rabid persecutor of the church. And on the way to Damascus, he has this encounter with Jesus. And he's radically saved and transformed. And he's blind and he goes into a house. And while he's there for 3 days, God then comes to a servant and said, listen, I need you to do something. Well, that's not what he said. He didn't say, I need or I want. He said, go. Do you understand the difference in church? God doesn't come to us and say, I would like for you to do this. I wish that you would do this. It would be nice if you would do this. What God says, I want you to and desire for you and command for you to do this. There's not an option for us to be faithful and not do it the way He says. So He comes to Ananias and He says to Ananias, Ananias, you need to go over to, and He names the address, because there's a man there that I need you to go see. His name is Saul. And Ananias says, time out. I think he's saying, God, do you really know who this is? But listen, Saul went through what he went through and was about to go through what he was about to go through, so that on the other end, the perfect timing of God would be fulfilled. He says this in Acts chapter 9. Paul is a chosen vessel to me. I will draw him. I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. I'm going to show him the things that he needs to know. And by the way, for him to get to that place, there's a time which you have to be interactive. You see, we're calling this a season for a new start. If we are expecting God to do what He said He would do, and there's a season in preparation for that, and we have the faith that what we're going to see happen is a reality even though we haven't seen it yet, you understand the difference between faith and hope? A lot of folks have hope. That's like getting in your car to go to Dallas and the tires are bald and you go, oh, I hope I make it. That's not faith. Faith is this. I know those tires are designed to go in this car and take me where I want to go, and they're going to work the way they're supposed to, and I'm not even going to think about them again. I'm just going to do what I know I'm supposed to do. You see, when we begin to walk in faith, now please hear me, stay with me. I'm not one of these name it, claim it guys, but I would say this. The old preacher said this, don't pray for rain if you don't bring an umbrella. Don't pray for God to work in this church if we're not doing some things before it ever happens. If we somehow think, well, when God does this, then we'll act, we will never see God work. Do I need to say it again? If we set on our blessed assurance and do nothing expecting God to do something, He's never going to do it until we get prepared for Him to work. We've got to make preparations. Praise God, we're beginning to see some of those things, and next month we'll start working on the concept of seeking and then serving and then seeing. Because my belief is this, by the time we get in 3 months, there's going to be evidence because of the preparations, because of the seeking, because of the serving, we're going to begin to see God have done some things that we might not have seen in a long time. It revealed God's plan. Number two, it reveals the hidden growth you cannot see. You can't see. You know Esther? Not from that show. But Esther, the queen. You know what she said when she was told to do something that she was not given permission to do in order to save her people? Here was her favorite line, "For such a time as this." She had no clue. Now, how did she get to that place? You see, God had to grow her through that. She had to go through a preparation time. But I will tell you, Peter, who had hidden and denied God, in a few days of standing proclaiming the truth of God. Why? Because God had grown him up. The times of season, the times of establishing faith in the believer, sometimes reveal those things that have been hidden from us all the way up until that point. We don't know what we can do if we just let God work. If we're not careful, we will miss the blessings because we stand on the edge of the diving board and say, "I can't, I can't, I can't." And God has said, "You need to take the plunge." And by the way, he's standing right there. You've seen the little child on the side of the diving board, or the side of the pool. Mom and dad are in the pool swimming. "Come on, jump, jump, jump. You can do. It's not the thrill of the jump. It's the security of the parent that becomes paramount. We're not interested in the thrill of the jump. What we're interested in is that when we do what God's called us to, we can have a faith that has grown and be assured that the Father is there to catch us. As a church, the season that we go through prepares us for those kinds of things. Number three, it provides grace that is sufficient. 2 Corinthians 12, "My grace is sufficient." Chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, "God is able to make all grace abound so that you have sufficiency." You see, we walk through those seasons of fallow, and we walk through those seasons of preparation, and we walk through this season of planting, believing that what God has said is what God will do. See, if I tell you, if you'll come to my house, I'll give you $100. And you don't believe me because you know I don't have $100, you're not going to make the trip. But if you believe me, what are you going to do? You're coming to my house. "Who's there?" "It's me. Why are you here?" "You promised me $100. "Oh, okay." Why? Because in the midst of that, if we trust by faith his sufficiency, we'll begin to walk in it, and then we'll see the evidence of it as we walk. Number four is this. It develops action and active trust on the journey. Jesus sent out the 12 disciples. He said, "By the way, don't do this. Don't take an extra coat. Don't take your pocketbook. Don't do this. Just go. And God will provide for you. He'll do this. He'll do that. You stay here." And they came back and they were like, "Wow, guess what? What you said would happen, happened." Don't you see hindsight's 20/20? I wonder on the journey how many of them on the first day. "Is this going to work? Man, I'm getting kind of hungry. What are we going to eat? It's getting kind of chilly out here. Man, I wished I'd have bought a coat." But when they come back, having walked in faith, guess what they saw? They had an active trust as they were on the journey. See, as we walk through, I wonder what God can do in this place as we simply walk in faith through the season that is coming before us. Now listen, it's not, "I wonder if God can do it again." We were talking in our Bible study this morning about the concept of God giving us a do-over. And I'll be honest with you, I don't think God gives us a do-over. I think He gives us a new do. What do you mean, Pastor? I mean this. I can't go back and do over what I've done. But there are times that He will give me the opportunity to take what I haven't done or what I didn't do and do it the next season. And as such, I'm not a do-over, but it's a new do. Maybe somebody needs a t-shirt made. I got a new do. I don't need that. But that process of giving us seasons is to grow in the believer an active faith. It reveals God's perfect time. It reveals the hidden growth. It provides sufficient grace. And it develops an active trust. That's why God gives us seasons. That's what this passage says. You see what He says? He will wait for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience until He receives the rain. See, my job is to plant and to cultivate, and God does the rest. All right, turn over now to Ecclesiastes chapter 11 for the second principle this morning. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. We're familiar with chapter 3, but chapter 11, let me read this to you. The wisest man who lived is making these observations. And he's talking about this. The wisdom that men have. The ability that God's given us to determine the seasons. And in chapter 11, verse 4, we're just going to read verse 4 and 6 because 5 is kind of inserted, but the context I want to stay is this. In verse 6, he says this, "He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap." What is he saying? He's saying in the process of this, we understand God gives us seasons to establish the times of planting and the times of harvest. If you go out in some of these big farms that they have out in West Texas, they've got machinery that plant crops. It's not like in the old days where they had a bag and they took the seed. You know when Jesus talked about the sower going out, reaching into the bag and casting out the seed? That's not the way that they plant today. When I planted my garden, I had a little handful of seeds, and I would get the sower and you drop one little seed in each hole as you go along. But here's what I know. If that's the way I'm sowing, here's what I know. What is he saying there? If the wind's blowing, guess what you don't do? You don't plant your seeds. Why? Because they'll blow away. And if I've got a sickle and I'm trying to cut the wheat and cut the barley, and if it's storming, guess what I don't do? I don't. Why? Because if it's wet, it won't harvest. If it's windy, it'll blow away. But what he says in that is this, that through the seasons we understand there's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest. And so then he says in verse 6, "In the morning sow thy seed, and in the evening withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or whether they both shall be alike good." What is he saying? He said, listen, there's a time and you don't even understand all of it. But you just know that there are those seasons. By the way, did you know there's certain plants that you need to plant in the morning? I'm trying to get some sweet potatoes to plant. And I've been reading because I've never tried to grow sweet potatoes. But everybody I said, listen, you need to plant sweet potatoes just before dusk. Because they need the nightfall to get acclimated before the heat of the sun. Because if you put them out in the morning or in the middle of the day, those new seedlings will burn up. So if I plant them in the morning, I'm surely not going to have a good crop. So what he says in this passage is this. There's 5 things about the laws of seasons that we can draw from this passage. Number 1 is this. We need to plant at the proper time. Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 2 says, there's a time to plant and a time to harvest. 1 Corinthians verse 6 said this. Paul said, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying this, that there's certain times that God calls us to do things that may not be the time that He wants us to do something else. Sometimes churches get so caught up in trying to start ministries and do ministries, it's like popcorn. You just start And ultimately, you end up with nothing that is a success. So there's a time to plant. What does that look like? Who mandates that? The seasons. The understanding of the seasons. The recognition of God's timing. See, as our church begins to grow forward, we're going to have the opportunities to do some planting. We've talked about having gone through a fallow season. We're in the midst of a preparation season. And I believe with all my heart, in the coming days, God is going to move us into a planting time. It's going to take some work. And it's going to take some cost. And it's going to take some commitment. But if we're going to see a harvest down the road, it's only going to happen when we get busy planting. We plant at the proper time. We have to make sure that the crops, you understand, you put in a spring garden with certain crops, and you put in a fall garden at certain crops. And if you try to mix them up, they don't do well. So that first teaches us that there's a proper time. Number two, it teaches us that we plant what we want to harvest. I want some pumpkins, so I'm going to plant carrots. And I'm going to have faith that God is somehow going to transform the pumpkins, carrots into pumpkins. It doesn't work that way. Oh God, we want you to bless our church. We want you to grow us spiritually and with maturity and with numbers and buildings and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We want to, but we don't plant anything. Listen, James says this, faith without works is dead. I had a lady tell me one time, she said this, Brother Dennis, I was working with the church. She said, but this, I know our church needs to do some things and it needs to change in some ways. I'm just praying God won't do it until I'm dead. Don't pray that. Because when a church gets serious about doing what God has said, anything that stands in the way, He will move it out of the way. And we certainly don't want you not to be here. But He says we plant what we want to grow. In Galatians 6:8, it says this, some sow to the flesh and some sow to the Spirit. But when we sow that, guess what we reap? We reap fleshly things or we reap spiritual things. Oh, by the way, verse 9 says, if we faint not. If we faint not, if we don't go weary in well-doing. We plant at the proper season. We plant the seeds that we want. I'm having a hard time with peas. We plant with the proper preparation. We test the soil, which we talked about. We check the seed. I wonder what these seeds are. I don't know. Let's just plant them. Maybe there'll be corn. You know, we need corn. Karen's mom in the attic of our house, we still have a container of seed that she had put together for the apocalypse. So we could have a garden. And she's labeled every one of them. And flower seeds and all kinds of stuff. But it's there. Why? Because when we get ready to plant, we need to know what seeds we're planting. And then we need to know what season. Number four, we reap only with persistence and patience. I know so many times people put a garden in February and March and April, and it's great until about July when it's 170 outside and the weeds are grown up and you have to go out there in the morning and hack the weeds and water and do all, and it's like, I just go to Walmart. Listen, we will never reap without persistence and patience. Psalms 126 says this, if you sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. You'll go out with weeping, carrying your seeds, but you'll come back carrying the sheaves of your harvest. That means this, that we reap only after we've worked hard and with persistence. Do we want to see God bless? The answer is yes. That doesn't mean bigger buildings and all those. It means that we have a healthy, growing church. But I believe this, that when God blesses and we get healthy, we're going to see an expansion of the footprint of the church at 242. And it happens because we may have to weep through some things. We may have to go out with heaviness with some things. But as we're faithful, over time, we will come back with joy because of what God is doing. And number five, we reap after a change of seasons. Jesus said this in Mark chapter 4. If you want to, you can look there. Mark chapter 4. Because again, we're talking about this concept of what it looks like in the planting and the harvesting and the seasons that there. Mark chapter 4, verse 26. That means this. Listen to me. The most important thing about planting and harvesting is knowing our job and letting God do His job. Do I need to say it again? The most important thing for us is doing our job and leaving God to do His job. What happens is so many times we build up programs, we build up personalities, we build up technology, we do all those kinds of things, perceiving that we really don't even need God. We got this handled. But what we don't understand is the power of the divine God to do things behind the scenes and above us and beyond us that He simply can't do through us. Mark 4:26 says this, and He said, so the kingdom of God is as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring and grow up. He knoweth not how. Now, you may be a biologist or a botanist, and you may understand all the germination process and the reproduction process and all those kinds of things of plants and all those kinds of things, but you still don't understand why. How? We don't understand the process that we see as the harvest begins to come in, or as the crop begins to come in, why God does what He does. And should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring. But by the way, do you understand farmers don't go out in their field every day and just stand there waiting, going, come on. I know people that talk to their plants. You're so pretty. You're so green. You can grow so well. Farmers don't go out and look at their wheat field and go, okay, guys, it's time. Come on. You know why? Because they're busy doing what they're designed to do, and they trust that what they've done, God will take care of. I wonder if that rings true in our churches. We sweat and we worry and we fret over things rather than saying, God, You've said it, that settles it. We're just going to be faithful in it, and now let's go see what else He's got going for us. They're diligent. But He says, listen, they don't understand. For the earth bringeth forth fruit of herself, first the blade, oh, there's a little stalk, then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. By the way, if you don't give God time to finish the work when you cut the corn, there's no kernels in the ear. If you don't give the potato plants time to get fully grown, you're not going to have the potatoes that you hope for. If you don't give the okra time to finish its process, let me just say this for free. You can wait too long to harvest and the crop rots. We have to be diligent. There's this season that God is at work in the growing that we simply have to trust Him and do what He's called us to. Then verse 29. What happens when it's ready? What happens when we get to the place that the crops are ready, the potatoes you can tell are ready to harvest, the corn is full, the fluff on the top has turned brown, they've dried, the wheat's ready. What do we know then? At that point in time, when the fruit is brought forth, immediately He puts in the sickle because the harvest is coming. Let me share this with you. A church can miss the harvest because it won't go out of the field. You know what Jesus said? The fields are white unto harvest. Do you want the bountiful crop? Do you want to be a part of seeing what God's doing? Lord Jesus, we pray, God, that You would give us a bountiful harvest. We pray, God, You would bless us. Amen, amen. Man, look at that field over there. Look, there's a new subdivision over there. Look, their new business is moving. I sure hope folks find us. I sure hope that they get saved. I sure hope that they find a church home. I will tell you, we are surrounded by a field that's white unto harvest. And Jesus said the concept of seasons is when it's time, you immediately go to the field and you begin the work of harvest. You understand the festival that was in the fall, the feast of first fruits? That was only done after the work. God, we thank you for the blessings, but we do nothing. You see, the seasons teach us that when we have an active faith, and that when we understand God's work, when it comes time, we do our part. We've got to be busy. We don't rush headlong into the field until it's ready, until we know where we're going. When I was 14, one summer I got a job. Only one of two jobs I ever got fired from. I got a job picking peaches in an orchard out 2 miles across the Texas-New Mexico border in the hot desert of West Texas. We got there at sunup because by 11 o'clock it was 100 degrees, sweating. The gnats and all the bugs were unbelievable. But we were paid 50 cents a bushel for all the peaches that we could pick. Man, the first day me and my buddies hit it, we killed ourselves. Because the more peaches you picked, the more money you made. About the third week, our intensity had dwindled. My last day on the job, I was climbing up on the back of the trailer in the middle of a peach fight, and a guy hit me in the head with a green peach and knocked me out. They carried me back up to the place, and the guy said, "You're fired." It wasn't, "Is he hurt? Is he dying? Is he you're fired." Why? Because I was not diligent to do the job that I'd been called to do. Here's what I want you to know, church. We can start and run the race with diligence and get to the place that we lose our focus and lose our sense of direction, and somebody's going to hit us in the head with a green peach, and God's going to lay us aside and go find somebody else. That's not what I want. I want us to see where we are today and move forward as we walk through a season of planting and seeking and seeing in the days to come. Amen? Amen? Let me share this with you. And you'll hear about this in the next couple of weeks. Andy, what are we calling the two teams we're looking for? Community cruisers. Community cruisers. We need two teams of two people that once every other week would give us 2 hours to get in their car and simply drive through part of the neighborhood. That's all. And make a list of houses for sale. 2 weeks later, they'll go back. If those houses have sold, if the houses that have rented now have people in, they make a list, they bring it back, and then we will go visit them and welcome them to the community. I can't do that. Why? I'm not asking you to go knock doors and say, "Hi, do you know Jesus?" I'm asking you to make a list so that we can then go and say, "Hey, brother, my friend, we saw that you guys just moved into the neighborhood. We've got a little basket here. It's got some goodies. It's got some advertisements from some of the businesses around the area. It's got information about our church. I don't know if you have a church home. I don't know if you even have a pastor. I don't even know if you have a faith. But on behalf of the 242 neighborhood, we just want to welcome you. And can we pray for you? If you're looking for a church home, we'd love to invite you. If you have any spiritual questions, we'd love to talk to you about that." But it's not going to be anything. Now, here's what I would say. If Josiah and Jace are driving down the road in their car, and they see the house next door, a guy's out in the front yard, and they want to stop and say, "Hey, look, we come to visit your neighbors, but we'd just like to give you an invitation as well." They're welcome to do that. But they don't have to. But what we're looking, by the way, Andy and I did that last week. Karen and I did it the first week. Andy and I did it last week. And in the four subdivisions around us, we got four homes right now that people have moved into in the last week and a half that we need to go see. One of them is just down the street from you. It's a house y'all used to live in. Somebody's moved into it. Why are you saying, Pastor, the fields are white? But we need two groups. It took us 2 hours to drive about six neighborhoods. Here's what I know. If you were driving that neighborhood every 2 weeks, it'd be quicker because you know where you're going. Especially when you learn that one of the streets you're looking for is in the other neighborhood. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying as next month we start the process of seeking, we're going to begin to find those places to say that folk can say, I can do that, I could do that, I could do that. Some other things that are going to be happening as we seek. But this morning, let me close seasons by saying this. God has brought us to where we are. He's brought us through a time of fallow. He's brought us through a time of preparation. And I believe that He's bringing us into a time of planting. I'm ready to see what He'll do. I'm ready to put on my gloves and get on my overalls and get out and do some work and do whatever we have to do, even if somebody says, I've never planted tomatoes before. Then what we're going to do is send you to the biblical Google. What are you saying, Pastor? We're going to find somebody that knows how they're doing, and we'll walk alongside you. Are you ready this morning? Then let's pray. Father, this morning, as Ryan comes and gets us ready for our invitation time, Father, I pray this morning that you would simply give us a freshness of our heart. Give us a sense of anticipation. God, that this morning, what we could say, sitting in this place, is, God, honestly, I would tell you it's been tough on me spiritually for a while. It's been a hard season in some ways. But I believe that I'm seeing the stirrings of what you want to do. And God, I'm not asking for a do-over, but I'm asking for a new do, an opportunity to take us forward, to be that church that you've called us to be that place where folks could find that place of answers to their spiritual questions, that connectivity of being a family. To find a place of solid biblical teaching, a place of prayer, an opportunity for fellowship and relationship, and be a place where light overcomes the darkness, and that this church in the days to come will be what you've called her and equipped her and planted her to be.